Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. God is good. We've been talking about the Word, and we've been talking about words. How many are being careful with your words? You got to be careful with your words. You can't bless and curse at the same time. You can't proclaim the blessings of God and then talk the doubt about it, and you know, down talk it. But so we have to be careful with our words, because our words are powerful. Our words literally carry power. We might think we're just talking, but speaking is a God act. Speaking is a God act. And we need to understand that we need to be careful with what we say, because what we say is literally carrying power in it. What we say to other people, what we just throughout the day. I didn't even get into foolish jesting and harsh speaking and all that kind of. I didn't get into a lot of things about words, but we just need to be really careful about how we use the words that we say, because if you want to be able to speak to the mountain and it move, then your words need to be absolute. Amen. They got to be absolute. It can't be, I hope this happens. I'm going to throw this out there. It's got to be an absolute. And confidence has to come with that. So if we're not speaking in confidence, in faith in God, then we're just throwing it out there. And today we're going to be talking about faith. Last week we talked about the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt. I'm going to talk about Jesus, His position, and what He came to fulfill, and the position that the Word came in a fleshly body and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory and the demonstration of His glory. God literally began to breathe in this earth, speak in this earth through Jesus. The Word that created the heavens and the earth in the beginning was speaking through the mouth of Jesus into human beings, and we saw the creative power of God as Jesus spoke. Amen. He just spoke. When the first miracle He did, turned the water into wine. He just simply said, well, go fill the water pots with water and now go serve it. He didn't say, turn into wine. He said, fill the water. They said, we filled them. He said, now go serve it. When He said, now go serve it, the whole chemical structure of that water changed. Because the Creator God spoke, and He didn't have to fill in the blanks. Oh, praise God. I know this is kind of hard for us to grasp, you know, because it's totally out of our natural thinking. I know some of you had a hard time with the message I preached last Sunday. It's kind of hard to grab hold of that and grasp it, but we're going to keep talking about it until we get it, because we've got to change our perspective. And today we're going to be talking about changing that perspective, the faith we have in God's Word, in the power of God's Word. Are we speaking our words, or are we speaking God's Word? In John chapter 15, verse 7 and 8, we're going to read this again. If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this My Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be My disciples. Praise God. So you will be My disciples. We are not just people out here just trying to have a Christian form. We are the disciples. We are the disciples. I don't know if you can wrap your mind around that today. Praise God. We're not just people that are attached to a belief. We are the belief. It's invested in us. It has been put in us. So the words, it says, My words abide in you. That means to live, to take residence in you. This isn't just to have you know, you can memorize a verse and quote it, but that doesn't mean that you have the word in you. And we're going to talk about that today. That doesn't mean you can quote the verse, but it doesn't mean that it's alive and active in you. There's a big difference. You can have knowledge, but not have the demonstration of the knowledge. Amen. Praise God. I've got knowledge of how some things work, but I've never experienced how they work. Amen. I have knowledge of how electricity works, and I've experienced how electricity works. Nobody has to tell me. It's invisible. You can't see it. Matter of fact, I had my bosses call me one day. They said, hey, we got some wires sticking out of the wall in our office. They just moved into a building and was kind of remodeling. I said, there's some wires sticking out of the wall, and could you come see where they go? And they said, it doesn't look hot. When they said that, I felt like saying, what does a hot wire look like? I went up and checked it. It was right at ankle level, sticking out. And if they would have got their leg against that, they would have been saying, it doesn't look hot, but I have experienced it. Because when I checked it, there was 120 volts on that hot wire. And so they would have experienced it. That's the way it is with God. Many have a concept of God, but they can't see God. They don't, you know, when you're driving down the road and you look out there at those power lines, they're just gray lines. You can't see anything. There's no glow. There's no, you know. Hollywood tries to make things up like that, but it don't happen. And you look at them and it's like there's nothing there. But if you get within 10 feet of those power lines, you are inside of the electromagnetic current, and it'll cause the hair to stand up on your arms. And if you get close enough, it'll do more than that. It will cause a little arc to jump to you. And you will now never again say there's nothing there. Amen. I was putting up our cable 40 inches below power on this big power line one time, and we were inside the electromagnetic current because when we put our big cable on, it was going to sag down. So we had to be 40 inches below power on the pole, which means when you get out in the middle span, those wires were hanging down, and we were really close to the power. Every pole we had to ground, put a ground wire on that pole. And we would put it on the ground, and we would put it on the cable, and it would just knock your arms off. I mean, you're just trying to, if you didn't watch it when you was trying to put that on the cable, it would just knock your arms off. It hurt so bad that you just have to stand there and work your hands after it hit you because it hurt really bad. And it's just static. And we would go to hook that wire up, and we had to put it on there real fast because fire would just fly, and if we weren't careful, it'd burn the end off of the wire when we was trying to hook it up. And that's just static. And yet when you look at it, you can't see anything. But you sure enough can feel it. Amen. What we're talking about is being able to go beyond the I can't see it to the I know it. Come on, somebody. Amen. This is not just an acceptance of the word, but to be inhabited by the word. You become a dwelling place of the word of God. In the book of Mark chapter 11, verse 22 and through 24, we've been reading this verse. It says, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now, Jesus started this off. This is after Peter saw the fig tree that Jesus cursed and said, hey, look, it actually happened. It's dying. And Jesus just simply said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. And if you say to this mountain, be removed. Now, I got to ask you something. When you read that, does that really seem like man's terminology? No, it doesn't. The reason is because we have to understand that our perspective and God's perspective is completely different. All right, somebody turned something on. I can hear it on the sound system. If you're looking at Facebook, I'm gonna know. When Jesus makes statements like this, we look at that and say, well, I haven't experienced that. Well, I don't understand how that could happen. Well, that's too big for me. I could never do that. And when we look at it, it doesn't make sense to us, because Jesus is saying that if we speak to that mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and we don't doubt in our heart, it's going to happen. He said, it will happen. And many of us immediately go back to, well, I asked for something and it didn't happen. And we're going to talk today about the two different kinds of faith. Because our faith, our natural faith, cannot operate in the God statements. We just simply can't connect to it. We can't grab hold of it. When Jesus made these statements, he was not talking he was literally speaking from heaven to earth. He was not speaking from our perspective of earth. He was speaking of God's perspective of earth. God's perspective of earth is, I spoke and it happened. I spoke and it was created. And Jesus is simply speaking God's perspective here. And God is saying that if you are able to grab hold of my word, if you're able to believe, you just simply speak to it and it's going to happen, because God, that's how God operates. Now, we don't operate that way as human beings. We don't expect things like that to happen. And then we feel like that'd be too much power and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, we get all confused because, you know, like I was talking last Sunday, I was talking about that, you know, declaring and speaking to something and it happened. And I told you that immediately I had this mental picture of me telling the lawnmower to mow the lawn that mowed the lawn. You know, that's where our brain goes. That's, as natural human beings, that's where our brain goes. Woo, glory. That's all that electricity of God, you know, it's picking it up. But that's where our brain goes, immediately to the menial task that we have to do every day. In other words, many times we look at faith as an opportunity to avoid work. We look at faith as a escape from responsibility. Sometimes we ask God to do something that we need to just simply be doing. Okay. I'm not going to get too deep into that. When I speak of God giving you provision, it doesn't mean you just sit down and quit and expect God to pay your bills. And I really got into it with some people some pastors in a foreign country one time, because they were wanting me to supply their needs. And I said, why don't you get some extra jobs? Because their families had no food and everything. I said, why don't you get some extra jobs and make some money and feed your families? They said, we can't do that. We live by faith. I said, what do you mean you can't do that? They said, well, Jesus didn't work, and we are like Jesus. I was standing there, a pastor that will work to meet needs. Not only my needs, but other people's needs. You know, I don't see a problem with it, except for when there's not time, then I don't do it. But I'm standing, and they're telling me we can't do that because we live by faith, and yet they're asking me to give them the money. I had to really control what I said that day, because what was wanting to come out of my mouth was, you bunch of lazy outfits. I mean, you know, I was feeling, and so I told them, I used discretion. And I said, well, let me explain to you then what's happening. You do not live by faith. You live by my faith. I said, you expect me to go back to America and work and believe God and provide your needs. So you have no faith whatsoever. It's my faith that's meeting your needs. So I said, if you're going to live by Jesus, don't ask me for any more money, because Jesus never asked for money. Speak to it. We had a bit of a falling out that day, literally. I mean, they was not happy with me, and I could care less. I told them, I said, if you're going to live by Jesus, like Jesus, you're going to live by faith, you better be up early in the morning praying. And you better be out there beating the bushes, praying for people, witnessing to people. If you are sitting in your little hut till noon every morning and just believing God and living by faith, that is not faith, that's laziness, and you need to get up and do something. We did not end that day on a good note, because I was going against their culture. And the simple fact is, we never resolved that. Except we resolved this. I'm not supporting you. Come on, somebody. Living by faith does not mean you sit down and wait for God to do something. It means you get up and start speaking, and you activate. You apply yourself. Amen. Come on now. Don't fall out with me. Praise God. I know you guys do better if you was there, but that's how I did it. That's how I did it. So, we understood each other. Jesus said, have faith in God. Not have faith in your faith. Not have faith in your ability, but have faith in God. In other words, look at things from God's viewpoint, not your viewpoint. How many know that's really not easy? I talked last Sunday about how sometimes we operate in this and do real good, and then for whatever reason, life just seems to run over us, familiarity takes over, and we go right back to doing the same things. We just go back to just trying to exist instead of abounding in it. Praise God. So we've got to continue to abound in it. Now, to understand the statements that Jesus is making here is to understand where he's speaking from. Jesus was not speaking as a man on earth. Jesus was speaking as Heavenly Father, the Creator in heaven. Faith can be expressed in two ways. There's two types of faith, And we need to grab hold of this because this is very important. I begin to study out the word faith as it's used in different texts and different areas. And the word faith, most of the time, is this. Faith in its purely natural exercise consists of an opinion held in good faith without necessary reference to its proof. Now, I know you didn't hear much of what I said that time, so I'm going to pass over it again. When there's a lot of words, we have a tendency to lose it. Faith in its purely natural exercise, that means the type of faith we normally operate in, consists of an opinion held in good faith without necessary reference to its proof. Thank you, sir. Without necessary reference to its proof. Now, most of us see faith as believing in something that we can't see or feel, and we just want to believe that it's there, don't we? We want to believe that it's there. How many have ever walked into a spider web, you didn't see it, but you knew it was there? You might not have seen it, but when it hits your face, there is no doubt that something is there. Some of you could put Bruce Lee to shame at that moment. I know some of you you're scared of spiders. Arachnophobia? Isn't that something? Man, we have labeled everything, haven't we? I have a fear of pimples. I have zip-pop phobia. Arachnophobia. So when you walk into a spider web, there is no doubt in your mind that you just experienced something. I'm not so much afraid of the spiders as I am. I just absolutely hate. They make me itch. I mean, I get, you know, next thing I know, I get this spider web on my head. I have to work up in these frameworks of these docks and stuff. And a lot of times there's spiders, they have come up with this stuff. It's a peppermint spray that they spray those things with, and it's heaven. It is getting rid of the spiders. Hardly ever have to deal with a spider web anymore because this peppermint spray that they spray all over the dock. Not only that, and peppermint and eucalyptus. And it even smells good, you know. And so they spray it. But a lot of times I'll be up there working, and when I get down, I will be covered in spider webs. They're just all over me. And I try to wash them off, and I just feel like I'm itching and crawling all over. Hate them. So it doesn't matter that I didn't see it. It was there. I experienced it. Whenever we have an opinion held in good faith without necessary proof, we feel like that's faith. But that is a natural type of faith. And that's what we have in God most of the time, is just an opinion held in good faith that we have no proof for. You know? How do you know God exists? Well, my opinion is, well, I think, you know, and we have this opinion. And that's what we try to operate in when we pray. We try to operate in an opinion held in good faith. God, I'm praying because I believe you're real, but I really need you to show me that you're real because, you know, I need something here. And that opinion is weak. How many know opinions change? And so an opinion held in good faith is only strong until that opinion is proved to not be in good faith. Amen. When something doesn't work right, then all of a sudden your opinion of that thing changes, doesn't it? It's like, nope, not going to do it. I don't believe it. I don't trust it anymore. Praise God. How many have ever had something let you down? You ever climbed up on something and it broke? Do you climb back up and walk on it again? Well, no, it broke. So my opinion is different now. My opinion is not held in good faith. It's kind of like J.R., when he was young, he had this rope swing in the barn. And him and, you swung on that, didn't you? Had this thing hanging from the top, and they had these hay bales stacked up, and they would get up on those things, and they would swing off, and they would swing, and it would go, you know, different directions, and then ultimately would come back around where they could land on these bales of hay. And so they'd been doing that over and over and over. It's just that J.R. didn't realize that he had wrapped that big rope over a very sharp edge. And so he had faith in it because he had done it over and over and over. And one night Steve was there. He'd come up and J.R. wanted to show him his rope swing. And so he climbs up there full of faith, full of confidence, because he had an opinion that this thing worked. He climbs up there, and I mean, he gave it extra. He was wanting to show Steve how to do this thing. And he took off running, and I mean, he jumped off them hay bales, and he was swinging. He went up this way, and he went up this way, and he came back down this way. And just as he got down here, that rope broke. He hit the ground on his back, slid and hit the metal side of that barn and literally dented the side of the barn out. He hit it so hard. And besides that, there was oak wood boards stacked up there. And so he had to go up over the oak boards before he could dent the side of the barn. His opinion was dramatically changed. He no longer believed in the hay swing. His faith was dramatically decreased. And of course, me being who I am, I said, well, you put it over a sharp edge. And I was like, what do you expect? Yeah. Is that what I said? Are you hurt? He experienced something that changed his opinion. Now, the faith that we need to have, the faith that God's talking about here, is not an opinion. This type of faith that Jesus is speaking of here is a firm conviction producing a full acknowledgement of God's revelation and truth. Now, when you listen to that, you think, well, there ain't much difference in that. There is a whole lot of difference in that. You go from an opinion held in good faith to a firm conviction producing acknowledgement in the truth of God's revelation. In other words, your experience does not change the conviction that you have of the truth of God's word. You can fall, and you'll get right back up and say, God, forgive me for falling because your word is truth. And I stand in your word because your word was from the beginning. Your word was with God. The word is God. Everything was made by your word. Nothing was made without your word. And I believe in your word. I establish myself in your word. Amen. It's not just a Bible verse I've memorized. It's a Bible verse that has inhabited me and is now creating what the Word says in me. Totally different. When the Word begins to create in you what God said, then you have the revelation of God's Word. You have it established in your heart. So when we think of speaking to the mountain, we can either view that as my ability to believe God, or we can see it as God's, the ability of God's word to produce when I speak it. Totally different. See, we can't have faith in our ability to believe. And that's where most of us, we say, I need more faith. Jesus, when they asked Jesus for more faith, he really didn't answer them with more faith. He just gave them something to do. Matter of fact, Jesus, when Jesus said in, I believe it's in Matthew, when he said, when they said, why couldn't we cast the devil out of the boy? I believe it's Matthew 17, verse 20. Why couldn't we do that? Jesus said, because of your unbelief. And whenever he said that, he then continued with that and said, if you have faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be moved and be cast to sea, and it'll happen. Now, Jesus referenced faith to something that is so minuscule that you can barely see it. They said, we need more faith. Jesus said, if you had faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, nothing, he finished that with, nothing shall be impossible for you. We look at it and say, I need big faith. Jesus said, no, you need a little bit of faith and a whole lot of revelation in what I said. Because once you have a revelation of his word living inside of you, it don't take a lot of faith to stand on it. Because you have a firm conviction. A lot of us see faith as trying to believe. Faith is a firm conviction. We have an opinion. And that's why we get discouraged so much. That's why we get disappointed so much, is because we have an opinion held in good faith instead of a firm conviction in the revelation of God's word. In other words, the word is not alive and producing in us yet, so we're trying to believe it's going to produce something that we don't possess. Come on, somebody. I have to go through this before you ever do. I've been exercising this, trying to exercise this on an everyday basis. I mean, trying to exercise the Word of God and trying to understand this revelation, this revelatory power, that it's not that I need to believe, it's that I need to be established. I need the Word producing in me the creative power of God. I don't need to try to believe that it works. I need to receive it and watch it produce in my life. It's not my word, it's God's word. It's not my ability, it's God's ability. I need to quit looking from earth to heaven and start seeing from heaven to earth and realize that God sees things totally different than I see things. What we see as impossible, God sees as no problem. Amen. God sees it as this is no problem. Listen, I told you last week about God, I spoke to the truck and God moved it out of that mud hole and all that. I was cutting wood one day, and I was young. Back then, it seems like that's all I did. I cut wood for me. I cut wood for my father-in-law. I cut wood for my dad. I cut wood for the church. I cut wood for people in the church. And most of the time, didn't get paid for much of any of it. But I did it. It was just an everyday thing. I had this old home light chainsaw that barely ran and an old 62 pickup that looked like it wouldn't run. And I just constantly, you know, that's what I did. I don't know why. I just cut wood for everybody. And sometimes I would cut 3 ricks of wood, haul it out of the woods, split it, stack it on people's porches for $20. Just so that I could get some gas to go do it again the next day. I was in the woods on a steep hill, and right at the edge where the trees started, I started cutting this large tree, and it was on a really steep hill. And I wanted this tree to fall uphill. Can anybody understand why I wanted this tree to fall uphill? Because if it fell downhill, every piece of wood I cut off would go all the way to the bottom. And besides that, I didn't want to mess all those other trees. So I was trying to get this thing to fall uphill in the clearing, and it was a big tree, real tall. And I'd almost got it cut in two, and some of you that's done this knows exactly what happened. I thought I could get it to fall uphill, and all of a sudden, it just leans back a little bit and pinched. There's my saw just stuck. Well, I had a two-wheel drive pickup, and once I backed down in a place like that, I couldn't get out without loading that truck with wood. I mean loading it with wood. I would load that thing until it was two-wheel drive, and when I'd come out of there, the front wheels would be coming off the ground and just kind of float like that, just riding on the back wheels. It was a good old truck. And I'm sitting there, and I realize that I'm stuck, I'm stranded, there's nothing I can do. I just went up and sit down on the hill right up above it a little bit, and I'm sitting there thinking, what can I do? What can I do? And faith started rising up in my heart. And again, I thought, you know, God said that whatever we ask, He'll do it. And so I'm sitting there and I said, God, it would be really nice. It'd be awesome if you would send a wind to blow this tree down. I know some of y'all is thinking, okay, that, you know, that's way out there. Well, I am. And I'm sitting there, and that's what I said. God, it'd be really nice if you'd send a wind to blow that tree down. And my faith wasn't real active because I was sitting in the direction that it would fall. So obviously I wasn't believing real big. And then finally I thought, well, I'm going to speak to it. And I said, wind, I command you to come and blow this tree down. And again, obviously, I was struggling with my faith because I didn't move. I'm in the direct path. And I said that and then just sat back. And I heard leaves start rustling. And I heard wind blowing through the trees. And I'm sitting there listening. I'm thinking, what is that? You know how we are. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden that wind got to where I was at, and that tree started cracking and popping, and I realized what was happening, and I jumped up and started running. And that tree came down right where I was at. God, the wind literally came from behind that tree and blew the thing over. Now, I know some of you are struggling with that, but you wasn't there. I was. And I enjoy that because God answers. But it wasn't until I decided to speak what I needed. Now, it would have been different if I'd have went down in the woods and said, God, I command that tree to be knocked down and cut up. That's what most of us do. No. I got in a situation where I needed something. I needed something to happen that was out of my control. And it happened. And again, I stood back for quite a while. I just stood back there on the side of that hill thinking, was the wind going to blow anyway? You know? What was that? But it blew it down. So I just started praising God, saying, God, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for answering that prayer. Thank you, God, that it happened. And since that time, we've seen a lot of things like that. But like I said last Sunday, we stand in it for a little while, and then we're out of it. We stand in it for a little while, and then we're out of it. And it's like the familiarity of our lives seem to wear us down until we just simply start allowing life to just shove us around. We forget that we're not just ordinary people, that we have the Word of God. But you have to get this to where it is a revelation on the inside of you. Not just something that you read in the Bible and you hope it works. Amen. Where Paul said, "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ask or think." Paul had the revelation of God because every time he talked about God and the things of God, he prefaced it with the richness. Everything was richness. Why was Paul using that word? Because Paul saw God as being abundant in everything and not lacking anything. Amen. Philippians 4:19, we read it this morning. "And my God shall liberally," the Amplified says, "liberally fill to the full your every need according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." Paul used these words to try to describe to us that this is not something that's broke, poor, and maybe work and may not work. This is the Word. And Paul was trying to get us to understand the Word. Can you imagine being Apostle Paul and being stoned to death and going to the third heaven and seeing things that it was not even lawful for him to talk about on earth and then coming back down here? You imagine what that'd be like? You have that revelation and knowledge, and then Paul had to get up and go back. But that word was so strong in Paul that he ended up getting up and going back into the very place that just stoned him to death and preached the gospel. That's how firm the conviction was in what Paul saw and what he believed. So if we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, it says that nothing shall be impossible for you. That changes everything when we begin to look at the things that God has asked us to do. All of a sudden, it's like nothing shall be impossible for you. And so I've been trying to translate that into my heart and life. We've seen some awesome things happen. I mean, we have spoke to the mountains, and we've seen the mountains move. We've seen a lot of mountains moved in the last couple of years. We've seen a lot of things happen, and yet I have a conviction in my heart that we're not even operating in faith yet. Amen. We're not even operating in that firm conviction yet. Faith is an established thought. It's an established conviction. It's something that doesn't change by our circumstances or by our experiences. It's the faith that says, no matter what is happening right now, I know God. And instead of focusing on that, I'm going to consume God's Word. I'm going to get the revelation of God's Word in me. A lot of us, when disappointment comes, the first thing we do is back off because we're disappointed. It didn't work. And many people blame God. They get mad at God. Which is futile and fruitless and foolish. And instead of doing that, why don't you back up and say, "Man, I ain't got it yet. I need to get this. I need to get this faith in me." Amen. It's one thing. You can say, "I believe." You can say, "I have faith." You can preach the word of faith. But can you operate in the word of faith? Can you operate in what God says? Can you stand firm that this is what God said and this is what's going to happen? Amen. I had a guy from a very popular ministry call me wanting to know about India. I've probably told you this. Wanting to know about India and, wanting to go to India, wanting to know what all. I didn't know this guy. He found out I'd been to India. So he finally said, "Well, how much do they give you to come over there and do a conference?" I said, "I don't understand your question." He said, "Well, how much?" He said, I've been asked to go over and do a conference. How much do they pay? I said, oh, you got it wrong. I said, they don't pay you anything. I said, you pay your airfare, you pay your food, you pay your motel, and then you pay for their food, and you pay for their motels, and you pay to take care of it, and you pay for the crusades, you pay for the light, you pay for everything, and you have to go over there with enough money to take care of that. And his response was, well, that's just not in my budget. Again, I had to shut my mouth, and I was silent for a few minutes because I wanted to start asking him about his message. And so I used discretion. Everybody keep that word in their mind. I used discretion, and I said, well, man, all I can tell you is this. If God told you to go over there, you have no choice, whether it's in your budget or not, to go over there and do that and believe God for the finances. But I said, if God hasn't told you to go over there, you need to stay home anyway. So I said, that's just the way it is. I said, but if you feel that God has told you to go there and do a conference, then you need to receive the finances to do that. You need to say, I know this is you, God. And you need to start making plans. Amen. I've lived this out. I know what I'm talking about. I've lived this out. It's a firm conviction. And we know this is going to happen because we have a firm conviction. Praise God. I know I'm getting this across. Praise God. I know you're hearing what I'm saying. And you're going to be able to start speaking to things instead of an opinion says, God, I wish you would do this for me. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door is open to them. Now, we're supposed to ask. But then Jesus told us to speak. Hallelujah. So we ask, and then we start declaring it. We start declaring it. Praise God. Lynn and Alice is coming December 4th. We met with them the other day. Their stay is extended this time because they couldn't leave the Philippines when they're supposed to. But so they're going to be here December 4th. And they've asked us every year, please come back. I didn't realize it'd been 12 years since we've been there. That's a long time. We've been focused on a lot of other things. We continue to support them. But they said, please, please come this year. And most of the time I just simply say, well, you know, okay, if God sends us, we'll be there. But this year, for whatever reason, I said, we'll be there in March. And, of course, they just started, woohoo, you know, got all excited. And so in March, we're going to the Philippines. I have no idea how. I don't know how it's going to all work out. But it just come out of my mouth. We'll be there in March. And so that's what's going to happen. Amen. What's going to happen? God's going to help me to prepare for that because that is some of the longest plane rides. I mean, one of those plane rides, going and coming is, depending on the jet stream, is either 15 to 17 hours long on one plane. And that's just one flight. You have several other flights. You have to, 15 to 17 hours. A lot of times you have to fly from here to California. From California, you land in Hawaii just to refuel. You sit on the airplane for over an hour while they refuel, sometimes longer than that. They get it refueled. Then you have to wait on permission to take off. And then you take off and you fly to either Taiwan, or you fly to Japan. And they get you off the plane. They refuel the plane. They clean it up. They walk you in a big circle around the airport. It's plumb funny. They get you off the plane and they march you through the airport. And you march through the airport. And all they're doing is they have to take you all through the airport to get you back around. I mean, there's 300 people here, and we're all just marching through these hallways, and they finally get us back around to where we can board the same airplane because they've cleaned it up, and they've refueled it, and then we take off from there, and we fly to Manila. And in Manila, we have to change to another plane and fly from Manila to Davao, Southern Island, Mindanao Islands, in Davao. And then once we get to Davao, we get out of there, and it's a six-hour car ride to where we're staying. So see, my faith is this: God's going to have me completely ready for all that. Amen. I will not be on the nightly news of the person that opened the door and jumped out. I pray that every time. I say, God, please don't help me be on the nightly news tonight. If somebody just decided they're done and they're getting off the airplane. And it's like, I'll ride on the wing, just let me out of here. But when we believe something, when we establish something in our hearts, then we have to say, God, this is your word, this is who you are, and I'm just simply going to stand in it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anybody ready to stand for something? Are you ready to believe God? You ready to speak to your mountain? Speak to your situation? Speak to the disease and infirmities that are trying to torment your body? Speak to the problems that are before you? Speak to the things that are coming against your children? Are you ready to stand up and begin to declare what God said over your life and over your word? Stand with me right now. Praise God. We've got to get the affirmation, the firm conviction in our hearts that I'm going to do this. And I'm going to stand in this. Hallelujah. I'm going to be able to do this. Everybody say, I'm going to be able to do this. Praise God. It's hard for me to keep going because I keep getting all these doubts, and we got to get past that. This is not about you. This is about the Word of God. Hallelujah. This is about the Word of God. It's about who it is that spoke this. We didn't speak it. God spoke it. Hallelujah. God spoke it. And when we get the revelation of the creative power of God in our hearts, then we begin to live by that. Praise God. I've been knocked down so many times, I can't even imagine. I can't even tell you how many times I've been knocked down, and yet faith is still in my heart. It's still there. Praise God. The enemy will try to back you down. The enemy will try to discourage you. But if the revelation of God's word is in your heart, none of that works. You just keep going. You just keep working. Why? Because you know God's true. You know that you are a failing human being. You fail all the time. But you know that God doesn't. And you know that His word doesn't. Praise God. His word is truth.